Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My guest today is Tiziana Forni. Tiziana is New York Regional Manager at Dark Star Imports in New York City. And Dark Star specializes in, I was going to say Star Wars and intergalactic sci-fi movie memorabilia, but I'm not going to say that because that joke has probably been cracked a million times. You're in charge of boutique Italian wine brands. Welcome.
Hi, Monty. They usually call me the Dark Lady because of Dark Star. Yeah. Sometimes it happens, you know, Dark Star, Dark Lady, which I discovered that Dark Star is a title of a song, but I'm not expert in music, so that's it.
Okay, so Tiziana, you were born in Staffolo, which is in near the port of Ancona on Italy's Adriatic coast.
I born in Ancona, actually.
Oh, you were born in Ancona? Okay. So why living in probably Italy's most renowned white wine region, the Verdicchio di Castelli di Jesi region, even you're in the Classico zone there, why did you end up in New York, or how did you end up in New York? Did your family have a vineyard and you didn't want to be part of that, or what was the story?
No, my family is totally disconnected from wines, totally different trade. So I started in the wine in Ancona in 2003 with a wine merchants, and then I started to study wine, attending wine courses. I worked in Piemonte. I worked for wine producer as export manager. I work in restaurants. And then in 2014, I had a great opportunity from a wine importer based in New York. And I decided to make this big change from Ancona to, which is, even if it's the main city in Marche, is still a small, it's a town properly. Mm-hmm. And I made this big change to the Big Apple.
You were quite internationalist because if I've got it correct, your dissertation at university, it wasn't on wine, excuse me, but your dissertation was on the World Trade Organization and international trade. So you obviously had a very internationalist
Yes.
sort of look, right?
Yeah, right. Because I really, since the very beginning, at the time of high school, I love to study foreign languages. So I used to speak a pretty good German, and now in this lockdown, I'm studying back, and I started to study Spanish because it's fun for an Italian. That's why, I always loved, to have international relationship.
How much of a shock was it when you actually arrived in America and New York in particular?
It was like a love at first sight. So I wasn't really shocked, even if, I don't know if it's me, because, for example, I also worked in Piemonte, in Lange, in Serra Lunga d'Alba, that you know how small it is. Mm-hmm. And I was not even shocked there. I believe that if you do something that you like, it's not really important what you have around. You need to love what you do.
So your job, you have a lot of responsibility at Dark Star, and you have an amazing lineup of wines. Just give us some idea when you go out selling or promoting or marketing. Maybe we can even talk about some of the brands you deal with it as for case studies. How does it work? How do you do? What's a typical day?
So my role primarily is based in having relationship with the distributor, because Dark Yep. Star is an importer. So as you know, importer in the United States, they can only import wines, but if they don't have a distributor license, they can sell only to distributor. So I am in charge of free markets, which is New York, primarily the five neighbors and the Westchester area, which is like right north to New York City, Connecticut, and New Jersey. So very different markets, totally different markets. And I started with Arcstar last June, and the main role for me was to improve the relationship with my brand manager in the three different distributors. And so you can also have a great relationship with the sales team.
Okay, so that's obviously very important to convince them that what you're importing is worth them trying to stock and then try to sell to the next in the third of the three-tier chain, yeah?
Yeah, this is very challenging because distributors have thousands of labels. So it's like that you are and I, you know, in the hay. So you need really to... I usually try to focus on people that I believe that they marry my portfolio, and education is a must because I also understand the sales team. They have like thousands of brands, they have a lot of standard to achieve, they have a lot of pressure. So my role is supporting them. So like, okay, I have this relationship. Let's go together. Let's taste the wine. Or on the other way, oh, I see that you have this account. Why you don't make me an appointment and I go and present my portfolio? So this is really, you know, the kind of relationship that now in this situation we need to tune. To fix.
But isn't it a case if I'm a distributor or I work for a distributor, I'm the sales person, haven't I heard the same old story from every single importer in New York? And, you know, they know almost what you're going to say. You know, it's got a great label. It will work really well with this particular style of restaurant or shop or whatever. How do you keep it fresh? How do you stop yourself from going crazy by repeating yourself?
I try to be, I am Italian. I try to be very honest with my brands, with my wine, because I know the competition is strong. So I try to explain maybe about grapes, about the producer, about the difference that you can have in price. That's for restaurant when you add the wine. When we used to have a wine buyer, it took some time, but you could get good result. For off-premise, it's a little bit more difficult because so far the off-premise is really focused on ratings. So big brands, they are still the winner, especially now.
But surely there must be other people who have the same kind of job as you that are, you know, relentlessly knocking on doors of shops saying, look, this points thing can't continue forever. You know, have you not got another way of looking at things? Or do you feel that you...
No, yeah, I feel that, you know, you need to be... That's before COVID. You needed to be consistent with your accounts. Okay, today the person doesn't want to meet you, then he wants to taste some wine. You need to be present. You need to be supportive. You need to show that you are interested in about the other side.
Okay, so about their clients and, you know, on the street in their little locality, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the wine shops or the wine stores, we talk about some quite small, some enormously huge. Is it a big range?
That's a huge difference because with a large store, most of the time you have like a kind of corporate manager, which, you know, the first challenge is an appointment. The first challenge is to get an appointment. Then when you get an appointment, I mean, all the wine manager, wine buyer in the United States are professional people. They know about wine, which this is something that I really love. Then you need to play your your cards. You need to understand, especially for off-premise, usually it works that you need to find if they have a gap on the shelf. Let's say that they want to replace, for example, a Barolo or whatever. This is the key point, and this really you need to have the help of the sales rep, because I mean, usually knows much better the accounts, and it happened to me like a various time, especially in a market like New Jersey, which is like a 90-95% of premise, that I work with the right person. And it was like, you know, say, okay, we go there because I know that they are looking for Friulano, they're for a Verdicchio or whatever, and today we're showing Verdicchio, and most of the time that was very successful.
Okay, so when you talk about off-premise, obviously this is people buying a bottle of wine and drinking it at home. I mean, you're saying that there are distant, I mean, are there differences, clear-cut differences in general between states, or is it more with regional areas within states where there are say a more rural area and a more urban area? How does your pitch change
there are huge differences. Okay, so again, an example of New Jersey, it doesn't matter rural or whatever, but I think it's more like New York and New Jersey, they are close each other, but they are totally different. So New Jersey, if you go to the shelf, you can see even like I counted like a 30, 35 different Pinot Grigio.
Uh-huh.
And maybe you have a Cortese, maybe you have a Falanghina, maybe you have in still wine, of course, and maybe you have a Verdicchio. But I mean, that said, so if you go to the city, to the New York City, or even Brooklyn, Westchester, wherever, I mean, there is you have a different audience. So the people are much more open to learn about new wines and to offer new wines.
Mm-hmm.
New wines, I mean, you know, less known grapes, sorry, not new wines, you know, like less known grapes. So let's say, of course, Prosecco is still, you know, the biggest demand, but, you know, even Arnaise in white, or like a Frappato, or like, okay, Montepulciano, you usually have 2-3 Montepulciano. So it's, you know, it's very, very different, the market. And they really want wines that have ratings, so they can do like a chef talker. So people, they say, oh, this wine has been rated a 92, 93 or whatever.
I mean, do you bring importers over to or people over to Italy directly, so that you can obviously that's expensive to do, but does that build long-term loyalty, or is that just a sort of they give you a few extra orders for a year or two and then they order from somebody else?
You mean when I work with a producer?
Yeah, I mean, either with a producer, I mean, in terms of, you know, getting the producer to America or getting the importer, the people that sell to Italy, what are the cost benefits of those two approaches?
I mean, if I well understood, if it is worthy for an Italian producer to work the market.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. It is. New York was a little bit kind of overwhelmed with these, what we call work waves, but mm-hmm. They still had, I mean, people still like to meet the producer. Again, especially a little bit rural air, they are really happy to see like an Italian producer that, you know, travel flights all these miles to, you know, to meet their customer. So again, it's different from New York City. I would say probably San Francisco, the major cities, from, you know, a little bit smaller and rural cities.
How do you see the market changing in general in America, not just in your patch? For wine consumption.
You mean now for the COVID?
Yes.
So, of course, there is a big impact because on-premise is, I mean, the sales in on-premise are really very low. Luckily, right after the COVID, they decided to authorize restaurants and bars to sell the bottle, because in the United States, it's not legal. You need to have two different licenses, which is sometimes...
Was that on a state-by-state basis, or was that across the...
I think it is across the country. Most most states. There are some states that you can like buy the bottle on the shelf, and they just charge like a cork fee. But I mean, okay. Most of the market. The market where I work, like New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey, they are, you know, you need a different license. So this was good, because at least, you know, the restaurant could sell some of the wine they have in stock, at least. So now the big percentage of sales are made off premise. There is a pretty high increase in online sales. So in terms of percentage, the sales are in wine are still good. But it's very different, because the wine that now have the major brands.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
the major brands or major grapes, because you know you order the wine by phone. There is not like maybe the small stores, they still do some, you know, suggestion, but it's more like the people want to have the wine at home, they want to drink wine or spirits or whatever. So, I mean, still for Italy, the sparkling like Prosecco is good, and the Tuscany especially is still very good, and I think also Piemonte. Now the season is going to be better, so let's see, with white wines, so we hope that, you know, usually Italian wines whites is not like the red wines in this market, but there was a good increase. So now like the small producer or like a small importers like Darkstar, we need to really work on marketing.
Yeah, but in a way this COVID thing is that I suppose there's an opportunity in some ways where, you know, maybe the smaller companies that offer really great service in a time of crisis can can build some loyalty into their own.
I mainly, you know, walk around my neighbor now, try to avoid, you know, subway or public transport, because we try to leave the public transport for essential workers, mainly, you know, all the health worker and whatever. So I see that like a restaurant doing delivery or takeout are kind of very creative, because they started right away to do like a kind of wine by the glass, using a kind of envelope or like a cocktail takeout cocktails. They started to sell together with the food, the prepared food. They started to sell, okay, the bottle of wine. They started to sell like the vegetables, frozen food. So they are creative. They are creative. Then we need to see how the cost is impacted this trade, the restaurants. This is the...
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's an argument for... Yeah. Smaller wine boxes, which are, you know, if you drop them on the floor,
right.
They don't normally
also
break.
Or like, you know, catering, like they made like a Mother's Day menu paired with wine. Now that, I mean, there is a lot of that. This market is very creative and is very fast. It's quick. The reaction are really very, very fast. There are, you know, big problems, because the first is the rent. The rent that the restaurant are paid, this is a huge problem. This is really a huge problem. Also, the limiting the capacity, which they must do in any case. It's not a critic. They must do. It will affect a lot of restaurants.
How are you going to rebuild brand awareness, even for brands that had some awareness about them after the COVID? Because I think almost this COVID thing will be a reset for many people. What have you got lined up in your marketing toolbox and brand building toolbox for post?
So one of the major is keeping education and contact with my sales team, because right now, I cannot go and nobody can go and visit an account, a customer. So I really think it's important to keep interesting the relationship with your sales team. Education, mm-hmm. giving suggestion, proposing kind of offer, which is not promotion, because this market is strict. You cannot really work on price. I mean, you can work on price, but you need to price. There is the so-called price posting. So, all the prices, the same price is for all the accounts. You cannot do anything, any specific preferences for any accounts. So you really need to work on the relationship, on communication. That's the right word, communication, communicating with your people.
It's interesting about the pricing. Obviously, word gets around in New York as it does in other places. But in some ways, that's an advantage for you, and in some ways, it's a disadvantage in terms of driving more margin from certain clients. I mean, is that a bit frustrating for you sometimes, this kind of pricing lock almost?
No, for me, no, because after working for many years in the Italian markets and, having all the restaurants asking for a specific discount, for me, it was a good thing.
Okay, it makes life a little bit more simple. Yeah,
yeah, and in any case, apart from this, that it looks like that you have less work. It's something that, in terms of competition, is pretty equal. I'm saying pretty because of course you can support in some way your accounts. Let's say that most of the accounts pay the same price for the bottle and the different service. The reason why you prefer a restaurant or a store rather than another is because maybe you like better the staff, you like better what they are proposing, how they are serving, or this kind of things. It's not a matter of only a matter of price.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
But let's say for a wine you can do different break of prices, like for one case, 3 cases, 5 cases, or whatever. But all the accounts have the access at the same terms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that does make life easier as well for you in some cases, so you don't get people.
For this is much easier, get used to fight for each customer in Italy for an order. It's much easier.
Yeah. Okay. do you think you turn to live in Italy?
In my ideally, yes, because I think the Italian lifestyle is better in terms of job opportunities. This country has more resources. I'm not saying anything else. It has more resources, which I really loved. I like how it works. Not say that I love Italy. For me, Italy is in any case, I spent most of my time in Italy, so I love Italy. It's just that for in terms of job opportunities, it's a little bit it's much more limited in opportunities.
Do you think it's New York is seen as quite a tough place, as a woman, in Italy, people call it a sort of, it's a male dominated culture. Is there a big difference as a female between working in Italy and working in America, do you think?
This
isn't a trick.
I know the reply, which I don't
know. I know it's the last question. So we can
no, let's off. Say, I would say that American female do not agree with my reply. I think it's still a male-dominated world.
All right, we'll leave it there.
Maybe less, yeah, but it's still.
Still a male-dominated world, yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
We're making slow progress, I think.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we need to fight. It's a challenge.
You know, the Masters of Wine, I don't know. Masters of Wine coming through, and not just that as a barometer, but I think our industry is not so bad in general. The wine.
No.
But I think, yeah, you're right. There was a long way to go. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the rest of your time, but however long it will be in New York City, Tiziana, and whenever you come back to Italy, whether it's to your home.
I hope so.
Or to Tuscany. I'm in Tuscany at the moment, so come and say hi. It'll be nice to meet you face to face. And if not, I'll see you maybe in Verona. Okay.
Yes, I miss so much in Italy, and so that was my big missing for the 2020. Yeah, hope to see you, everybody, soon, Monty. Thank you for asking me to talk about this market.
Thank you, Johnny. You've been great. Thank you. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through ItalianWinePodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.